Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but hardly duplicated, knocking out bums now for 40 plus years. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. Let me introduce you to myself. I am your modest host. I'm also a four-time Golden Glove champion and an award-winning boxing writer. So supposedly, allegedly, I should know a little bit about boxing. But guess what? I open up the top of each show for you, each listener. If you want to pipe in, you can. Call me on the toll-free, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, we're still in the aftermath the funeral of Mike Tyson. Of course, Friday night he was, you know, sort of played around with Jake Paul. Jake Paul being 27 years old, Mike Tyson being 58 years old, like a 31. And bottom line is, Mike Tyson had bad legs. Just going in, he had his right leg wrapped in some type of a sleeve as far as his knee was concerned. That was a bad sign to boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, because he had some knee issues. But the bottom line is, you know, Mike Tyson had legs. Put it this way, Larry Merchant is 91 years old. Larry Merchant has better legs than Mike Tyson. If Larry Merchant was in the ring the other night, he'd have had better legs than Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson's legs were shaking, and he threw nothing but left hooks. It was like he was trying to lose. He never tried to throw a punch with bad intentions against Jake Paul. He just never tried. I mean, those hooks, yeah, come on. They were so far away, there's no way they were going to land. So the bottom line is, he didn't have a plan, or he didn't want to win, or it was rigged, or it was fixed. What I'm trying to say is, they could only do this in Texas. Of course, we'll talk about the Texas Athletic Commission in depth. We talk about the Amanda Serrano-Katie Taylor fight. But the bottom line is, they could only do this in Texas because the bottom line is, it wasn't really a fight. Jake Paul led up on Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson didn't have anything in the tank. I mean, this wasn't a Mike Tyson that fought or had that exhibition with Roy Jones 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, at that point in time, he had some legs under him. He could throw combinations. And he wasn't trying to kill Roy. But, you know, you could see there was still some athletic prowess still in Mike Tyson. Put it this way. He's an old man now. The baddest man on the planet is no more. I'll talk about it in depth today with Tommy Dean. And we'll do some other stuff. We'll go back in history to June of 1995. Oscar De La Hoya's win over Julio Cesar Chavez is a real big first fight. And we'll talk about Tim Doc Anderson and him killing Rick Parker. That and more today on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of 2 or 3 pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
This vacation offer is so good, I'm going to repeat it. If you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, even up to the 80s, come to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico for 6 days. All meals included for only $2.99. Again, come to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. All meals, all drinks, $2.99. We'll even give you a free cruiser land package if you're one of the first 50 people to call right now. Again, come to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico for only $2.99. Be one of the first 50 people to book right now at our luxurious all-inclusive resort. If you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, even up to the 80s, you deserve a great vacation. So take it right now. Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Call now and get a free cruiser land package on top of your trip.
800-296-1437. 800-296-1437. 800-296-1437. That's 800-296-1437.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You're irritating me now.
Yeah, I believe he was irritated the other night. Of course, I'm talking about Iron Mike Tyson. No longer Iron. Aluminum Mike would be a good call right now. Of course, he's the guy that folded against Buster Douglas back in 1990. Straight up, of course, that was the end of his invincible days. There's no doubt about it. Before that, he was the baddest man on the planet. I mean, nobody would even think about beating Mike Tyson, let alone this 37-1 underdog named James Buster Douglas. Of course, Douglas failed in his next fight against Holyfield. But the bottom line is, that was Buster Douglas' crescendo. Of course, Mike Tyson's downfall, the meltdown in Tokyo, no doubt about that. But the other night, 58-year-old Mike Tyson showed up. Well, he didn't really show up. He was there physically, but mentally, I didn't think so. I mean, were you ready to run that? You got that little clip with that 14-year-old girl? Get that ready. So when you're ready to go with it, roll it when you can. Straight up.
The legend, yeah. Mike Tyson, in the ring for the first time. So after such a successful career, what type of legacy would you like to leave behind when it's all said and done?
Man, I don't know. I don't believe in the word legacy. I just think that's another word for ego. Legacy doesn't mean nothing. That's just some word everybody grabbed onto. Someone said that word and everyone grabbed on the word, so now it's used every 5 seconds. It means absolutely nothing to me. I'm just passing through. I'm going to die and it's going to be over. Who cares about a legacy after that? What a big ego. So I'm going to die. I want people to think that I'm this. I'm great. No, we're nothing. We're just dead. We're dust. We're absolutely nothing. Our legacy is nothing.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that. That is something that I have not heard before someone say that as an answer. So thank you so much for giving me that kind of idea as well.
Can you really imagine somebody say, I want my legacy to be this way when I get dead? Why do you want to say, you think somebody really wants to think about you? How? What's the audacity? I think I want people to think about me when I'm gone. Who the f*** cares about me when I'm gone? Well, my kids, maybe, or grandkids.
True.
Who cares?
And again, thank you so much for sharing that.
Wow. I mean, she's 14 years old. Her name is Jazlyn Jazzy Guerra. Evidently, she does stuff on videos, post videos under Jazzy's World TV. And of course, and she was put on the spot there. She handled it well. I don't know if I could have handled it that well. I kid you not. I mean, you know, there were two guys I froze against. Actually, I didn't freeze against, but I didn't talk spit to Mike Tyson. I didn't talk spit with an H. I didn't talk spit to Marvin Hagler. Marvin Hagler was more out of respect, and I always thought that maybe Marvin could snap. Marvin was one of those guys I thought he was really tightly wound. I wasn't sure whether he would snap or not. But Mike Tyson, you knew he would snap. So I would not say anything that would piss him off? I mean, there was no need to. He was adversarial enough. Yet this 14-year-old girl handled him with well. Of course, the scores the other night, it was basically a shutout. Mike Tyson was given the first two rounds, I believe, on a couple of scorecards. But at the end of the night, it was a 58-year-old man that shouldn't have been in there. Of course, when I thought about the fact that he's 58 years old and the fact that I'm older than that, and, you know, Larry Merchant's older than that, and, you know, I just tell him he doesn't have any legs. When you don't have any legs, you have nothing to do. You can't stand up. Mike Tyson had problems standing up the other night. I'm trying to tell you, at the end of the day, he was 58 going on 70. So he's over. He's done. Jake Paul moves to, like, 12-1 now with seven knockouts. Oh, boy, the one fight I think he lost was to Tyson Fury's brother or something like that, or cousin, something. Bottom line is, Jake Paul can't fight, but Jake Paul knew enough the other night to lay off Mike Tyson when Mike Tyson was down and out. I mean, the seventh, eighth round, Mike Tyson could have been taken out. There was absolutely no doubt about it. Mike was there to go. Mike was ready to go. I saw Mike quit against, not quit, but go down and basically take a knee and give, you know, against Kevin McBride back in 2004. That was like 21 years ago, 20 years ago, okay? When he took that, you know, that knee and said, I'm done here. That was in Washington, D.C. That was a sad day in the world of heavyweight boxing. Because Kevin McBride couldn't win the Golden Gloves out here. But the bottom line is he goes down in history as beating Mike Tyson. Anyway, Jake Paul goes down in history as well as beating Mike Tyson. Now, the travesty. According to my man, the impeccable one, Daily Peck, the women's fight the other night did not go the way it should have went. Of course, Katie Taylor won a unanimous nod. I thought it was a split nod at first, but it was a unanimous nod. 95-94, 95-94, and 95-94 across the board. And Amanda Serrano threw and landed 100 more punches. I mean, how do you go 100 more punches? Impeccable, and what did you think about that? I mean, she threw 100 more punches, and that gash in her head, I mean, you're not a big boxing guy, but don't you think they should have stopped that? Weren't at home, weren't you, like, cringing? Can't hear you. All right. Try that one more time. We'll go to the old Sports Byline studio. You ready to rock?
No.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was definitely cringing. I was tough to watch for a lot of it. But, I mean, not that I wasn't peeled to the screen. But, yeah, I do think that I'm not, like you said, I'm not a boxing expert. But it was,
but if ever there's a fight where they should stop a fight because of a cut, that's it. I mean, you thought her skull was popping out of that cut, that hole. It was a hole in her head. It wasn't a cut. It was a hole.
Yeah, I swear I saw white. It was not good.
And yet the referee, John Shirley, a guy that I worked with in the Golden Gloves, that's how long he's been around, from Sacramento, California originally, he kept letting that fight go. And at one point in time when he was warning Katie Taylor about headbutts, he told her, you're better than that. I don't think the referee should be voicing the opinions like that. He should either tell her, look, stop headbutting. I thought it was a little crazy. Anyway, bottom line is, of course, talking about John Shirley, formerly of Sacramento, California, now living in Texas. Of course, this could only happen in Texas. Of course, the Nate Diaz, Jake Paul thing, that can only happen in Texas. Nate Diaz wasn't kicking weed for like a month and a half or 2 months in order to fight in Texas and make all that money. There's no way it was going to happen. Anyway, Texas, things happen. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fought down there. Of course, he had a big cocaine problem for a long time. And when the WBC and the Texas Athletic Commission went to give him a drug test, they couldn't find a cup for him to pee in. I kid you not. That's how crazy it was. Anyway, bottom line is, go back to Texas. 24-1 now, Katie Taylor, 6 KOs. Of course, she's out of Ireland. She went toe-to-toe for the most part with Puerto Rican Amanda Serrano. But Amanda Serrano got the better of it. She landed 100 more punches. What more can I say? When you land 100 more punches than somebody in a 10-round fight, I think that's a statement. I mean, 100. I mean, I'm not a big guy on punch counts and that kind of good stuff. The bean counters, I used to call them. The bean counters of boxing. Okay, Logan Hobson and his partner. But the bottom line is, you know, if you land 100 more punches than somebody in a 10-round fight, you probably won the fight. You probably did win the fight. And A, the corner failed her. Why did her corner fail her? Because the bottom line is, after a couple of rounds of that cut like that, or once the cut happened, they just should have stopped the fight right then and there. It would either went to the cards and said that Amanda Serrano won, or it would have been a technical draw. They didn't do it. Bottom line, so the corner failed her there. Then you have the referee. I mentioned him again, John Shirley, formerly out of Sacramento, California, one of the most despicable performances I've ever seen in my life as a professional referee. And John, you got to take the heat, bro. I never thought I would have to kick you in the teeth like I am right now. But the bottom line is, you should never, ever, 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 ever referee a boxing match ever again. You're not qualified for the Golden Gloves. I don't know if you're older. Maybe you're older than you told me. I think you're a couple years younger than me, but maybe you're older than that. But bottom line is, not only have you lost a step, but you've lost the integrity and the integrity to be an official. Because when you didn't see that last night, the other night, all those headbutts, and you're telling a girl that she's better than that, doesn't it? You took 1 point. Come on, man. How long did it take you to take that 1 point? I mean, come on. It looked to me like it was repeated headbutts, repeated headbutts, repeated headbutts. Put it this way. Evander Holyfield was a dirty fighter. Katie Taylor is dirtier than Evander Holyfield. Let's put it to you like that. I kid you not. I thought she was really dirty. I thought the butts were, they were a big part of the fight. They opened up those gashes on her face. Talking about Amanda Serrano's face. And then somebody said to me, well, you know, it's Amanda Serrano's fault because she didn't have her head tucked. Say again? She didn't have her head tucked? Bottom line, her chin wasn't down? Listen, she's got some fundamental flaws. Every boxer has fundamental flaws. Nobody's perfect, okay? But she was damn near perfect the other night. She did enough to win. There's no doubt about it. And to say that Katie Taylor won 7 rounds because you took that 1 point away from her, to say she won 7 rounds on all 3 scorecards is indicative of a fix. There's no other way to put it. I mean, come on. There's no other way to put it. Lori Taylor got the benefit of a doubt the first time with Amanda Serrano. She got beaten like a girl, like a trail horse then. She did. Bam, bam. I mean, Amanda Serrano whooped on her. Second time around, I thought Amanda whooped on her again. But she landed, in the meantime, 100 more punches. You can't outland somebody by 100 shots in a fight, in a 10-round fight. A 10 2-minute round fight. A 10 2-minute round fight. You can't outlaw somebody. You just can't. You can't outpunch somebody that much. 2 minutes. Those were 2-minute rounds. 10 2-minute rounds. And she outslugged her by 100 punches. And the other girl won the fight. Something's wrong with that. Of course, the sport of boxing, Eddie Hearn controls boxing. Eddie Hearn controls Lori Taylor. And, of course, Eddie Hearn controls the selection of judges to it. He has to. I mean, because the fact that Eddie Hearn's promotions have come up with these atrocious decisions once, time and time again, especially involving Lori Taylor. I mean, it's not once. Last time they did it in New York City. I mean, they fleeced Amanda Serrano at home in New York City. Of course, the Irish population turns out for the big time. Of course, the Puerto Rican population turns out as well when these two get together. But the bottom line is, the other night, that was a bit of an atrocity. Of course, it can only happen in Texas. Jerry Jones, of course, he's the guy that cleared Errol Spence after Errol Spence was hurled out of a car at 115 miles per hour, suffered brain bleed, a severe brain bleed, because when he was booked for drunk driving 3 or 4 weeks later by the Dallas Police Department, there was blood around both retina, around both corneas. Bottom line is, he was in bad shape. They should have never allowed him to ever fight again. Had he suffered the injuries he suffered in that car accident in the boxing ring, he would have never, ever been allowed to box again. He would have been banned. There's no question about that. So Jerry Jones did that. Jerry Jones got the Nate Diaz thing. Of course, that was a big controversy. And Nate Diaz was going to go down there and not smoke weed in Texas. Well, that wasn't Nate, okay? But Jerry Jones took care of that. Jerry Jones also got this fight legitimate. He made it legitimate, per se, because they didn't want to do the exhibition thing, right? So they called it an eight-two-minute round, 16 minutes of boxing for Mike Tyson. He couldn't handle it. At the end of the night, the chick won. There's no doubt about that. But she got shafted. Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, that was a shaft. Thank God you didn't have to pay for this on pay-per-view. It was free on Netflix, although a lot of people stole it. They say that 70 million people watch this on Netflix. If 70 million homes watch it, that means like close to 200 million people watch it or better. So the bottom line is, I guess Mike Tyson still turns out the numbers. As far as Jake Paul is concerned, let's just hope he would just go away. Straight up, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than $1 a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than $1 a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, Car Shield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call Car Shield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with Car Shield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Time to take it to the Bronx, baby. Bring in Sir Thomas Dillamuth. I got to get that right for his agent, Sir Thomas Dillamuth. And how are you today, young man?
What's going on, Pedro? I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm better than Mike Tyson. You know, I think Frank had a point here. Let me read this off. Frank, 1961, hit us up on Twitch.tv. The Sports Byline broadcast was going live as I speak. It says, Tyson has slightly slurred speech and seems to have a mild abnormal tremble, shaking type of walk that can be associated with a neurological gait disorder. He made a lot of money against Paul in what appears to be a stage match, and no one got hurt, so props to him. But I think he's right. I mean, Mike walks funny. Mike sort of talks funny, and you know, he's not the guy he was 5 years ago. And, of course, you know, your wife will probably tell you, probably say you're not the guy you were 5 years ago. But the bottom line is he's not the guy that stepped into the ring with Roy Jones, did the exhibition with Roy Jones. He's obviously far faded from that.
Yeah, he's definitely far faded. I mean, to me it was a staged, you know, fight that Paul carried. You know, he shouldn't have been in the ring. He threw like something like 18 punches the whole entire fight, or landed like 18 punches.
Yeah, threw 97 total.
Yeah, it was sad to see, you know, when you see one of the legends of the sports, you know, some might say an icon as far as, you know, what put people onto boxing. People follow boxing because of him, you know, if they were around in the late 80s, you know. So it was kind of sad to see, but, and I kind of understand why Mike did it. You know, he did it for the money, you know, and, you know, why not? So he's $20 million richer, you know, kudos to him, but hopefully this is it. And we don't have to see him in the ring again taking any more punishment.
1984, Mike Tyson is the Olympic training camp in Colorado Springs. We're sitting around a big giant hot tub. Michael Nunn's there. Pernell Whitaker's there. I'm here with all these black guys. I'm sort of like the only non. I got 23%. I guess I'm an honorary. I got 23% black in me, so that makes me an honorary black guy. But the bottom line is I'm sitting around with all these elite black fighters. I mean, I'm just telling you, the 1984 Olympic team, there was some bad dudes on that team. Pernell Whitaker was there. I think Meldrick Taylor was in the room the whole 9 yards. We're all sitting in this big, long, this big circular hot tub, sort of look like a big teardrop. But the bottom line is Mike Tyson says something about Michael Nunn's mother. They were capping back and forth. And Mike Tyson is a heavyweight at 210 pounds at one point in time. Michael Nunn was 160 pounds, dripping wet. He had to put on weight to make 160 at that point in time. And Mike Tyson says something like, I knew your mother when she was hoeing. Michael Nunn got up and walked across the hot tub and said, MF, get your black ass up and get your black ass up, blah, 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 blah. Mike Tyson froze. He never said another word. Michael Nunn had to say, oh, I thought I... or something like, I put you in your spot or something like that, and went back and sat down. So Mike Tyson to me is not the invincible guy that everybody I'm not trying to say I thought he would fold at one point in time, but when you saw that fear in his eye, he was fear in his eye that he was scared of Michael Nunn. And I said to myself later, at one point in time, some guy's going to make Mike Tyson scared again like Michael Nunn did. And of course, Buster Douglas did that. And the other night, I think he was scared throughout.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, and he won a lot of his fights because people were scared before they even got in the ring. You know, Frank Bruno comes to mind. I thought Frank Bruno was scared to death when he fought him, and he fought him twice.
That's not fair. That's not fair. Frank Bruno should have never been in the ring with Mike Tyson. I mean, that's not fair that he put him in there. I mean, it would be like putting me in the ring with Mike Tyson at that point in time. Frank Bruno had no chance. I mean, Slim and none, and Slim wasn't born yet.
Yeah,
I mean, he just wasn't born yet. Hey, we came back on the plane after Mike Tyson beat him up the second time in Las Vegas. Of course, that was the Tyson comeback. We were coming back on a plane from Vegas to San Francisco. We were on the same flight together. We sat in first class. And, you know, I asked him what it was like to fight Mike Tyson. He said, man, it was scary. Yeah, it was scary. But that was then. Yeah. And this is now. Two different guys. As far as Frank Bruno is concerned, Frank's got some emotional problems. You know, these guys, you're taking shots. People don't realize this, but, you know, getting punched in the head is not healthy.
No, definitely, it's not healthy, and you know, when you're 58 years old, you know, you shouldn't be taking any more punishment. And when you've been in a lot of wars and big fights that Mike has been in, you know, at the heavyweight level, which is the prestigious, you know, weight of boxing, you know, it's just not healthy. It's just not good.
You know, he who controls the heavyweight champion of the world used to control boxing. That was a saying, and that went for the most part. But then Ray Robinson came along in the 50s, and he sort of carved his own little niche there. And then Ray Leonard came along in 1976, and he really carved his own niche when he bought out all the investors had invested in him, so he owned himself. I mean, I thought that was so cool. Ray was so smart that he had that lawyer with him, Mike Trainer. They called him Top Cat Trainer. But he was a white dude, a lawyer out of Landover, Maryland, but he was the genius behind Ray Leonard. Ray Leonard would never, ever have went broke. All these other fighters went broke, this and that. Ray owned himself from the start. So, you know, Ray was different. But Ray came back, and Ray got beat up, too. Nobody's the exception. Father Time, you can't beat him.
No, you can't. You can't beat Father Time. You know, Ray's probably biggest mistake was when he came back and fought Camacho. Right?
Oh, don't. No, you know what? Here's what's up. Yeah, I don't think that was that big of a mistake because I did the TV for that. But here's what's up with Ray. Ray came in with a ripped up Achilles tendon. And, you know, the show must go on, that kind of good stuff. But Ray was having problems walking around. And then once Ray put some weight on that foot, I think it was his lead foot. Once he put some weight on that lead foot, he was done. Not that Camacho wasn't going to beat him, but Camacho ragdolled him.
Yeah, he ragged on him. I mean, Camacho got in his head, you know, for like a couple years before that, I believe he kept, you know, talking about Ray, which is what Camacho does. He talks. And, you know, Leonard shouldn't have been in that fight. He should have never took the fight, in my opinion. You know
what was one of the secrets of making Leonard, bringing Leonard in there at less than 100%? Mike Akey was a promoter. He promoted Hector Camacho. He called for a same-day weigh-in, the same morning weigh-in at 160 pounds. Ray had made it 160 pounds in a few years, isn't that? Especially for the same-day weigh-in. So, you know, Ray signed up for it, didn't think nothing of it, thought he could do it. When he came down to doing it, Ray was in bad shape that morning.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Mike Akery, he passed away a few years ago. He was a genius behind Camacho. He was a genius behind Camacho's comeback. He handled Roberto Duran's, all those big comeback fights with Barkley and Davey Moore, this and that. He was the guy piloting Roberto Duran.
Wow, okay. Yeah, and Duran made that great comeback. The Davey Moore fight, I believe he was picked to lose that fight, right?
Yeah, he was about 2.5 or 3-1 underdog, and he went in there. And of course, and you know why? Let me tell you, this is how crazy this was. I flew to L.A. on a jet to watch that fight on closed circuit television because they weren't showing it nowhere in Northern California. I couldn't find any place, so I got on a jet and I flew to Southern California. Now that's a fight freak.
Wow, that is a fight freak. That's dedication.
No, man, it was so cool. I mean, and when I came back, I remember the Channel 7 news guy. I went to this big disco here in town. We came back like at 9:30 at night, like 10 o'clock at night. We're back in San Francisco pimping it. And what was his name? Dwight. Anyway, the guy from Channel 7 says to me, Pedro, what's happening? I said, listen, I just came back from watching Roberto Duran, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, he couldn't believe it. Nobody could believe that Duran came back. Of course, after the Nomas fight, this and then he thought to be done. Of course, he came back. He beat Davey Moore. After 12 rounds, he was on an even keel or ahead on one or two cards with Marvin Hagler. Bottom line is, he busted Marvin Hagler up. Nobody ever gave Hagler that type of – I mean, look at Hagler's face after 15 rounds with Roberto Duran. And Duran got tired in the last three rounds. That was the size. Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. But Marvin told me like this, and I'll let you talk. Marvin said to me, Duran had a sneaky right hand. That's the only compliment I've ever heard Marvin Hagler say, and we interviewed him on three different continents.
Wow. Well, I was just reading on history. I don't remember the fight per se because, you know, I'm not old enough. But in the fight with Moore, I think it was on Duran's birthday as well, right?
On Duran's birthday in New York City, everybody was rocking and rolling. Of course, Duran, he sort of set that fight up by knocking out Pepino Cuevas in January of that year, of course, 1983, I believe, and that was in L.A., knocked him out in four rounds. But the catalyst for Duran getting that shot against Davey Moore was Tony Aiello Jr. raping his neighbor. He raped his neighbor June 1st, 1984, 1983, January, New Year's Eve, 83-84. He raped his neighbor. He was supposed to get the fight. Instead, Duran got the fight, and the rest is history.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's crazy.
Yeah, Tony Aiello was a piece of work. I had him on the show before and after the rape thing, you know, and I got him on the show after. I couldn't believe he would come on the show after. I mean, me being an ex-policeman, I couldn't believe he had the balls to come on the show after he pulled that crap, right? And guess what? After he did it, I dogged him. I dogged him on the air the whole nine yards. And then about 2 years later, he gets caught molesting some little girl in his gym.
Wow.
And then, of course, he died from a heroin overdose. When he died from a heroin overdose, guess what? I didn't feel sorry at all. Wasn't soon enough. Biggest creep in the history. One of the biggest creeps. He's one of them Sean Combs type of creeps. I kid you not, like P. Diddy. Straight up P. Diddy. We'll talk about that a little bit more in hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Tommy D's in the house. Straight up, you are tuned to the longest running fight show in history, Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
Keep listening for a free virus protection offer. Protect your computer from crashing and online scams. According to national research, one-third of all computers are infected with some sort of computer malware. And one-third of you have been a victim of online fraud. Protect yourself now with My Computer Works. We're an 18-year-old U.S.-based company with a 4.8 Google rating. We've helped your neighbors protect their computers for almost 20 years. And now you too can be protected for less than $1 a day. Get your total PC home support right now. Call our U.S.-based specialist right now and learn about our free offer. And remember, if we can't help you, our services cost you nothing. So call right now.
800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. That's 800-352-7618.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You think you won the fight?
Yeah, but I'm good with a draw.
Why?
Because I entertained the crowd. The crowd was happy with it.
That was Mike Tyson 5 years ago after Roy Jones. He even sounded better, didn't he? I mean, as far as his approach to things. Of course, he was much more. I think he was neurologically damaged, of course, in boxing. Most guys are. I kid you not. Most of the guys that I grew up with that boxed, that took a lot of lickings in the gym and then took lickings in the ring, they're off a little bit. Of course, the same thing goes with the guys that I played high school football with. I kid you not. Some guys that I played high school football with, you look at them and they don't look at you. They're looking at you, but they're not looking at you. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. We take it to the Bronx, of course, and bring in Mr. Sir Thomas Dillamuth once again. Tommy D, how can I put this? Why are we attracted to freak shows? This was basically a freak show. Nobody really expected Mike Tyson to win if this was a straight-up fight. It wasn't a straight-up fight, but yet it's 70 million people or 70 million homes watch this on Netflix. That means like 250 maybe or 280 million people watch it. How many people? There's only like 350 million people in the country.
Yeah, I think a lot of people watched, you know, quote unquote fixed fights because of, you know, the way the build up and because a lot of people, you know, they believe in characters and figures, kind of like TV. And Mike Tyson, you know, a lot of people believe that Mike Tyson was going to be the Mike Tyson that we once saw, you know, 30 years ago. And that's just what it is. People believe that. And then also you gotta put into the fact that the overall card, you know, had some good fights. You know, you had the great fight in Amanda Serrano versus Katie Taylor. That was, you know, the great fight as far as.
But time out. But great fight. But it's going to go down in history as a win for Lori Taylor. 40 or 50 years from now, 100 years from now, historians will look back at this fight and say, you know, Lori Taylor beat Amanda Serrano not once but twice. And each time, Amanda's given up a lot of natural weight. She's like 126 pounders. She's fighting this girl. First time was it lightweight. This one's a junior welterweight.
Yeah, this was at super lightweight, junior welterweight, 140. Amanda, I think, only weighed in like 137 and a half or 138, didn't even weigh in at 140. She's a featherweight fighting, the girl. And, you know, and it's like you said, a lot of people are going to look at it as Katie Taylor got the win twice over Amanda Serrano. But those are, you know, quote-unquote casual boxing fans that don't really, you know, follow boxing like maybe me and you, right? And that's why these are the same people that believe that Mike Tyson was going to beat, Jake Paul at 58 years old. You know, but the fact of the matter is that Amanda Serrano is a 126-pound fighter, went up in weight to try to be great, and I thought she won both fights, and she was robbed, and the fight was taken away from her, you know, twice against, you know, the bigger, dirtier fighter in Katie Taylor.
Okay. I don't want to get into the cruiserweight fight. I'll talk about that next week. Talk to me about Mr. Zepeda. Is he a good fighter?
You know, William Zepeda, you know, he was a big favorite yesterday, and I believe he was, what, minus 16-1 favorite,
yeah,
over Tevin Farmer. Tevin Farmer is a crafty, you know, crafty southpaw out of Philadelphia who, at 33-6 losses, who I thought won against Muratala, came in, and I thought, you know, he put on a great performance. And I thought Farmer won the fight. He knocked Zepeda down. I think this was the second time Zepeda's been knocked down. Zepeda, I think, is just a build-up fighter, you know, a Mexican-built fighter, that he can fight. He throws a lot of punches. He threw over 700 punches. You know, he's very entertaining, good to watch, but I don't think he's anything special. And they're building him up to fight, you know, Shakur Stevenson, you know, he's the WC interim champion now, so he's got the mandate, he's the mandatory to Shakur, and Shakur's going to run circles around him, literally run circles around this guy. And I just don't think he's, you know, he's that good.
Another guy on the card I've never been impressed with, but he was loser last night, is Jose Ramirez, now 29-2, 18 KOs, former 140-pound champion. Evidently, Arnold Barbosa, 31-0, 11 KOs. Doesn't sound like a big puncher. What does he bring to the dance?
I don't think he brings much to the dance. I think he can box. He doesn't really have a big punch. He's, like, close to 30 years old from what I've seen. It's just sad to see Ramirez, who was once, you know, who I thought was a good fighter. And ever since that fight with Josh Taylor, when I guess it was for Undisputed, you know, and it was a good, entertaining fight. Josh Taylor clearly won. You know, we haven't seen that same Ramirez, you know, since. So Barboza, you know, they're building him up, but, you know, he hasn't, you know, he's been fighting for a long time now and hasn't got a title shot. I don't know what they're doing to him. I don't think he's any good. I got to see him in person in April. I thought he lost the fight. He fought some Irish guy. I thought the Irish guy won, and they clearly gave Barboza the fight. I thought that was a robbery. But I just don't think much of any of those two fighters at the moment. That division, that weight class, has kind of taken like a step back. You know, none of the big guys are fighting. The top guys, you got Shakur, you know, not taking fights or big fights. You got, you know, Tank Davis looking to fight 130-pounders. You know, what are we
doing? He's going to fight Freddie Roach, right?
He's going
to. No. I got that right, Freddie Roach?
Lamont Roach. But well, maybe Freddie Roach might be a better opponent. I don't know.
Okay, but the guy that you probably should fight, the guy that's talking a whole lot of smack, and the guy looks like he's got some ability, is Keyshawn Davis. Is Keyshawn for real?
I think Keyshawn is for real. I mean, time will tell. I like Keyshawn. I like Keyshawn the way he talks. I like the way he goes in there and he handles his business. You know, only time will tell. These young fighters, they come up, and it seems now in this day and age, it's a lot of talk, a lot of videos, a lot of Twitter, a lot of Facebook, a lot of social media, you know, but I think he really wants to smoke. Time will tell. I think him and Tank Davis would be a great fight. But does Tank Davis want that fight? I don't think so. Tank Davis is, you know, they're building up, you know, kind of guiding him the way Floyd Mayweather got his career. They're looking for, you know, ridiculous amounts of money just to fight, you know, or defend a title. And, you know, Tank is a good fighter. Don't get me wrong. I think Tank is a really good fighter. But he's not fighting anybody of relevancy.
Well,
you know?
Well, guess what? They were supposed to fight in December. Now, December 14th, the date's been put off. Now it's March. Evidently, Lamont's going to have to gain. He needs that much time to gain weight.
I guess so. But then the rumor is that they don't have the money to pay Tank. Tank wants more money, and, you know, and they keep talking about the venues not being booked. They're supposed to fight in Houston, which I think is a big mistake. These guys are both in the DMV area. They should fight maybe in Baltimore. You know, I think that would grab more attention. I think that's a huge mistake to fight out there in Houston. So I don't know. I don't know what they're doing with Tank. I don't know what Leonard Ellerbe and I guess PBC, I guess they're the ones that back Tank. I don't know what they're doing. You know, PBC seems to be like it's going under.
You know, Tank Davis has never really fought, outside of Ryan Garcia, he's never fought a top five fighter.
No, he has not. You know, and he's been fighting smaller guys too. Before Ryan Garcia, he fought Hector Garcia, another 130-pounder. You know, and now he's looking to fight another 130-pound fighter. For that, just go down and fight 130 pounds.
Size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. If you got a chance to watch that UFC main event last night, man, that was all about size.
That was definitely about size. Well, John Jones was a big guy, but the other guy, he looked pretty good in his shape. But, I mean, I think he's got a lot of damage, and he's been around for a long time. So
he won. He was the Ohio State Golden Glove champion for the entire state.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Stippy could fight a little bit, but the bottom line is he was outsized, and he was out. It was, you know, that when you're looking for a guy to just, when is the hurt going to end? You know what I'm saying? That's what I was sort of. That was the fight. In other words, when is this going to come to an end? When is John Jones going to put him to an end? Put an end to this? Yeah. And when I look at those guys, you know, I'm going to talk about this in hour number two, but I say it week in and week out. Man, you can't recover from those type of ass whoopings. Let me tell you, I used to come in contact with fighters the day after a boxing match, and I won't mention their names, okay? But guys that won, the next day they were scrambled. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They were scrambled. They weren't right, okay? So if you lose and take an ass whooping, you're probably going to be scrambled to an even greater extent, okay? So these guys are scrambled, and there's no time. You can't unscramble yourself from those type of ass whoopings because, Tommy D, you're on the ground. You know, if I'm going to punch you on the ground, your head's got nowhere to go except to absorb the power of the punch.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know,
that's dirty, man. That's like, you know, Dana was on TV last night with Trump and who else? Elon Musk was too. All three of those guys, man. If they drowned, I wouldn't be sweating. But the bottom line is, you know, I don't know.
They're not taking just punches. They're taking elbows,
kicks,
and forearms. I mean, kicks. I mean, when they're face back on that back, they're taking forearms and elbows.
Yeah.
You know, how do you recover? I mean, the guy said he was going to retire. He wasn't going to fight anymore after that, and good for him. But they take a lot of punishment, and they're not even getting paid what professional boxers are getting paid.
No, and Tom, I think John Jones might have got a good check out of that because he was a guy that sort of said he was going to fight for a year and hasn't fought for like almost 2 years. And, of course, he takes on Stipe Miocic. And Miocic, as small as he was, he has the record for the most title defenses as a UFC heavyweight champion. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, he's a tough, rugged guy, this and that, but I wouldn't consider him a guy that would be an all-time MMA great, but yet he is. I mean, it's according to the stats. At the end of the night, though, John Jones and his physical – and just John Jones being physically bigger and better. And, you know, Jones has never lost. He's only been disqualified one time.
Yeah, he's only been disqualified. John Jones is a real deal. I mean, I don't watch too much UFC, but I know John Jones is one of the best to ever do it. You know, I think he came up from, what, middleweight or light heavyweight?
Light heavyweight, 205 pounds.
So, I mean, much props to him. I mean, he's a real deal. Maybe they just don't have the opponents for him.
He doesn't like the Dana White. He doesn't like Dana White, or as I call him, Dana White privilege. He doesn't like Dana White. He hates Dana White. He despises Dana White. Dana White tried to control him like, you know, he controlled everybody else. And then John Jones started calling the shots to an extent. And John Jones wants to fight Francis Ngannou for big money. Actually, he wanted to fight Bailey Peck first, but Bailey pulled out. And he's going to fight. Ngannou's a big fight. I mean, that's the real big fight. Ngannou's probably held in better accord as far as MMA is concerned than John Jones is.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 1,000%. I think that's the fight to be made too, and I think that'll be a real big pay per view if they ever go ahead and try to make that matchup. They're gonna have to offer Ngannou a lot of money as well as pay John Jones, you know. So Dana White's gonna have to.
It's not gonna. No, you didn't get it. You didn't get it. We're gonna do this without Dana White.
Wow.
I think they can do it without Dana White. I do. I think they can because I think John Jones's contract is up. That's why I think it took him 2 years to get him back in the octagon. He had one last fight on his contract, and he wasn't going to do it against anybody that was going to hurt him.
Mm. So who do you think can go ahead and make that fight and promote that fight?
The IFL, the International Fight League Group.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That makes sense.
And they've got a few bucks. They got some Asian investors. Know that about that. Now next week, real quick, Emmanuel Navarrete and Oscar Valdez. Oscar Valdez has had his face put through a meat grinder the last time out. He's going to fight again. But the real fight on that card, I think, is on the undercard here. Rafael Espinoza and Robesy Ramirez, double R. That looks like it's a good fight.
That looks like, I think that's a good card. I think that's a great fight. I think Valdez is going to do better than a lot of people think. Navarrete, I think, is kind of like on the downslide right now. You know, Valdez has been kind of rested, hasn't fought in a while, so I think he'll do a lot better. But yeah, Espinoza and the Cuban Robesy, I think that's going to be a good fight. The first fight was a great fight. Robesy had him in like the sixth round. He had him hurt and he couldn't finish him. And then Espinoza, his gas tank was, you know, definitely still full in the 11th, 12th round, and he closed the show and rightfully won that fight. And he was like a 12-1 underdog in that fight as well. And they were fighting in Miami, which is kind of like the Cuban home, right? So, you know, that's going to be an amazing fight. I look for Robesy to come back and maybe stop Espinoza this time.
Miami is the Cubans, what Orlando is the Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, absolutely. 1,000%. Yep.
Tommy D, I know you're moving this week, man. Thank you for your time. Hug the wife. We'll talk soon.
You got it, Pedro. Thank you.
Sir Thomas Dillamuth on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
President Biden recently released a massive $6 trillion budget, the largest budget in U.S. history. And guess who pays the bill? That's right, you, the American taxpayer. American citizens and business owners will be paying more taxes. That's a fact. And if you owe back taxes, they will be coming after you to collect payments. In fact, President Biden also hired thousands more IRS agents to go after you. If you got a letter from the IRS and you know you owe back taxes or you haven't filed in years, don't put your head in the sand. Call us today. We've saved our customers millions of tax dollars. One quick, free phone call will show you how we can reduce your past tax bill and save you thousands, guaranteed, or you pay nothing. Call now.
800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039. Paid for by the Tax Helpline.
What would you do if you had a broken bone? You'd go to the doctor and use your insurance, right? Well, what would you do if you have a serious problem with drugs and alcohol? Most people do nothing until it's way too late. Your insurance can help you get clean and sober with the assistance of a place like the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Many times, addiction treatment is fully covered. So why not use your insurance to treat your addiction problem just like you would if you had a broken bone? And with the Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed to take time off by law and your employer doesn't need to know the reason. So there are two good reasons. You've got insurance you can use for your addiction problem, and with the Family Medical Leave Act, it's completely confidential. Call now, 800-771-4125. That's 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hey, Pedro, how you doing? And good evening to everybody out there listening to the show.
Get this. We'll talk about music just for a second. Then we'll go back in time. The average white band has sort of exploded on the scene back in 1973 with a song called Pick Up the Pieces. Well, they're going to retire. They're doing their farewell tour as I speak. And, of course, their lead singer is my buddy, Brent Carter. Of course, the former lead singer for Tower of Power, now the lead singer for Average White Band. But Average White Band is on their last tour. They're coming to California. They're going to play at Yoshi's Monday and Tuesday. I've got tickets for both nights, but I will be the MC for the Monday night show. I'm looking forward to doing this, no doubt about that. The Average White Band, a long time in musical and R&B history, coming to an end, no doubt about that. But it comes to an end here in Oakland, California. Straight up, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, hour number two. I'm going to tell some stories. We're going to talk about the Oscar De La Hoya saga, the fact that when he fought Julio Cesar Chavez back in June of 1996, all the surroundings, why it happened, why it was almost didn't happen, what happened during the fight, the closed circuit broadcast, the whole nine yards. I'll talk about promoting it. I mean, we're going to go in depth. The Oscar De La Hoya, Julio Cesar Chavez fight, the first one back in June of 1996, we're going into that in depth. Of course, the San Francisco Examiner, I was writing for them at the time. I was able to write my byline, of course, advertise the fight, the whole nine yards. We'll talk about that in depth in hour number two. As we will go into depth on Timothy Doc Anderson. He was a heavyweight based in Florida. Of course, I think he was like 27-6. He had a horrible record, but he killed Rick Parker. Rick Parker was the promoter of Mark Gastineau. Mark Gastineau was a former New York Jets sack exchange. He was like the most impressive sacker in the NFL for like 3 or 4 years. I kid you not, Mark Gastineau of the New York Jets. Of course, he was the guy that I interviewed back in 1992 on the Boom Boom Mancini, one of the Ray Mancini undercars in Reno, Nevada, and I couldn't get his attention. because he was like punch drunk, and he was punch drunk not from boxing, punch drunk from but from football. I kid you not. Anyway, Mark Gastineau, of course, he threw a fight. Actually, Tim Doc Anderson threw his last fight against Mark Gastineau, allegedly threw it, said he was poison going in, all kinds of things. Bottom line is, he didn't win that fight, but he killed Rick Parker in April of 1996. I think we'll talk about that in depth. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look at the world of boxing and MMA. Am I supposed to be impressed with Gilberto Ramirez, of course, capturing the WBA and WBO cruiserweight titles while beating Chris Billiam Smith yesterday inside the distance? Not really. I'm not a big Zerto fan. I'm just not. It was December 7th. We talked about this a couple of minutes ago. Oscar Valdez on ESPN. ESPN, ESPN Plus. Of course, Emmanuel Navarrete, the WBO junior lightweight title on the line against Oscar Valdez. Last time we saw Valdez, he was fighting with his face. He should retire as well. Straight up, hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide coming up after the short break here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, and the American Forces Network. Straight up, the impeccable one. Take it away. Hour number two coming up after the break.
Shorts. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico Insurance. Jake Paul defeats Iron Mike Tyson in a unanimous decision in that highly anticipated fight. After eight rounds of boxing in front of roughly 72,000 fans, Mike Tyson, the 58-year-old, showed signs of fatigue. The YouTuber turned boxer Jake Paul improves his record to 11-1 in his professional career. That includes 7 knockouts. To see more content around the fight and exclusive interviews, make sure you're following at Sports Overnight America on Instagram. From throwing punches to shooting buckets, NBA on the court, big slate out of yesterday. Magic defeated the 76ers, that final score 98-86. The Pistons won in a close one over the Raptors, 98-95. Miami Heat flaming their way to a win over the Pacers, 124-111. Lakers win over the Spurs, 121-115. Hawks and Wizards battled it out. Hawks taking the W, 129-117. Knicks and Nets, Knicks sneak pass, 124-122. The Cavaliers remain undefeated. They are 14-0, which is the third best start in NBA history. They win over the Bulls, 144-126. Pelicans walk away with a win over the Nuggets, 101-94. Thunder beat the Suns, 99-83. Rockets win over the Clippers, 125-104. Timberwolves taking a win, 130 over the Kings, 126. And Warriors win over the Grizzlies, 123-118. That's your Sports Shorts presented by Geico Insurance. I'm Giovanna Scroggins on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Build up to Black Friday with savings all month long at Lowe's. Get up to 50% off select major appliances, plus take an additional 10% off when you buy select major appliances. And don't wait to pick up holiday inflatables under $20. Don't wait to save in-store or online now, because Lowe's knows deals. Valid 11/6 through 12/4. Cannot be combined with additional discounts. See Lowe's.com for details and qualifying items while supplies last.
Check, check, and check. That's the sound of me getting a jump start on my holiday list. But I can't take all the credit. Kohl's makes it too easy. I got my daughter a mini instant camera, my husband some cologne, my sister cozy slippers, and that's just the beginning. Then I got 20% off other gifts, $10 off $25 spent, and earned Kohl's cash. Thank you, Kohl's. Select styles, $10 off $25 offer ends November 11th. 20% offer ends November 23rd. Coupons do not apply to tech and Sephora at Kohl's. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Sports in 60 times 2. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, presented by Geico and Geico.com. For the diehard football fan like me, the Canadian Football League will showcase its 111th Grey Cup this Sunday night at BC Place in Vancouver as the Winnipeg Blue Bombers face the Toronto Argonauts. I became hooked on the league over the past 10 to 15 years, especially in the late 2010s, when virtually every game was on either ESPN or ESPN+. Two seasons ago, the league moved the telecast to CBS Sports Network, where they get the slick production of Canada's TSN network. and CBS Sports Network is where you'll find this Sunday's season finale. Let's talk about the differences between the two leagues. The CFL has three downs to the American four, a field that is 65 feet wide as opposed to 55 feet, and a field that is 110 yards long. Yes, you can have the ball at your own 53-yard line. The CFL has a three-minute warning instead of a two-minute one. There are 12 players on the field for each team instead of 11. The goalposts are on the goal line in the CFL, where the NFL's used to be, and there are no fair catches north of the border. Those are just some of the differences. There's no argument the NFL is a more talented league, but a good portion of CFL rosters are filled with college players on them from all divisions that couldn't make the NFL. Going back to the 80s, Warren Moon won five Grey Cups in Edmonton before coming to the NFL, and he is the only player to be in both leagues' Hall of Fames. In the 1990s, Doug Flutie started in the NFL before heading north, and then he came back south to finish his career. Also, what got me hooked on the CFL is that the season starts as the NHL and NBA playoffs end, and it carries you right through the summer. It's a nice alternative to baseball on many weekend nights. I urge you to give the league a try, this Sunday or next June. It satisfies the summer football itch for me. Sports in 60 times 2, presented by Geico and Geico.com. I'm Brock Hines on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million dollar Sports Byline Studios. Check it. This is hour number two of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated. Get this, I've been knocking out bums for 40 years. That's right. Four decades come September 2024. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez. Welcome to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the longest running fight show in history. Not only am I your host, I am a four-time gold glove champion, meaning at one point in time I could really fight, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer. Sort of a unique combination. Not too many guys are journalists, award-winning journalists, and boxers, per se, but I did it. And bottom line is, of course, I went to school for writing. I was an editor of these high school paper and went on to win some awards, both as a journalist as a kid, then I went to college. Of course, when I was going to college, I was writing for the SF Examiner, the SF Progress, which was the third newspaper here in town. Actually had greater circulation than either the newspapers, the Chronicle or the Examiner, because it went to every household for free in the town and city. So San Francisco. So I was going to like almost a million people a week. And of course, Jack Fisk and those guys were only going to like a couple hundred thousand people. Bottom line is the Progress ruled. There was no doubt about it. That was back in the day. I'm going to talk about going back to June 1996, Oscar De La Hoya, undefeated, man. He was like 22-0 with 19 knockouts, taking on Julio Cesar Chavez, 97-1-1. We'll talk about that in depth today on today's show, and we'll take a look back at George Foreman. Of course, the Mike Tyson fight this past Friday night, I guess I can't get away without mentioning that because it wasn't much of a fight. Mike looked like he was 90 years old. Mike looks like he has neurological problems. Of course, that was brought up by Frank in hour number one, Frank 1961, listening on Twitch.tv or watching on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Of course, we are live on Twitch.tv as I speak. Bottom line is, Frank brought up the fact that, you know, Mike Tyson shows some neurological slowdowns. Of course, so do I. But the bottom line is, I'm not getting punched anymore. Mike Tyson was getting punched the other night. I thought that Jake Paul gave him a pass, went light on him. At the end of the day, Mike Tyson made a lot of money. Hopefully he didn't get hurt, but you never know. I mean, he was hurt going in. Bottom line is, he was damaged goods. He's been damaged. The guy's been beaten on since he was like 14 years old. How much can you take? It's at the end for Mike Tyson. Straight up, Ring Talk Live, worldwide after the break.
Did you know that Wendy's has any size soft drinks for just a buck? Yeah, any size, anytime. Like a dollar Coke, dollar Sprite, or even a dollar Strawberry Fanta. Okay, could we like maybe switch up the sound effect, please? Because I'm losing it. Wow, no, not that. Any size soft drink for just a buck? Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Price and participation may vary. A la carte only. Not valid in a combo. Exclusions apply.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
Hey, airline travelers, let's say you have a problem and you need to change or cancel an existing airline reservation. What do you do? Well, SkyWatch is a free service that can help anyone with any airline reservation fix it. Whether you want to cancel it, change your dates, or add passengers, we can help fix your airline reservations so you get exactly what you need. We've updated our computer database and now have access to every airline around the globe. So now you can make one phone call, regardless of who booked your airline tickets, and we'll change it, cancel it, and fix it for you. We know the insider secrets to fixing reservations that the airlines don't want you to know about. So if you need to cancel, change, or modify an existing airline reservation, call SkyWatch right now. It's a free call, so let us fix it for you. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. 855-325-5647. That's 855-325-5647.
This is J.D. Sharp. I've been developing a revolutionary sports handicapping service, and you can be a part of the beta. Sign up at BetUS.com with a deposit of as little as $50 and use the promo code SHARPBETTING. Email a screenshot of your account to WorldwideSharp@gmail.com, and I'll reply personally with my plays. My NFL record this season was an industry best 72-33, and this is the only way to know all my plays the moment I make them. Let's keep making money together.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Because he's a bum.
Wow. Cold shot there. Producer throwing something back at me. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside looking world of boxing and MMA. According to BoxRec.com, of course, the official record keeper in the world of boxing, according to the United States. Bottom line is no Inouye. Of course, the top fighter pound for pound. Terrence Crawford, number two. Oleg Usyk, the current world heavyweight champion, number three. Number four, Artur Beterbiev, the current light heavyweight champion of the world. Number five, Saul Alvarez. Let's not talk about Canelo. Number six, Dmitry Bivol. Number seven, Gervonta Davis. Of course, talking about fighting Freddie Roach. Now, Freddie Lamont. Bottom line is, number eight, Jesse Rodriguez. That's a guy that looks really impressive. No doubt about that. I mean, the performance he put on last week was just impressive. No doubt about that. Number nine, undefeated WBC 118-pound champion, I believe, Junto Nakatani, of course, comes to us from L.A. via Rudy Hernandez, who's his trainer and handler down there. Of course, Rudy being the brother of former champion Gennaro Hernandez, who we heard in hour number one. Of course, him, Gennaro, of course, that was a sad, tragic ending. Of course, him dying of cancer and him coming on the show like 48 hours before he died, that was really, really crazy. Number 10, pound for pound, is David Benavidez. David Benavidez, of course, going to fight Eric Morrell. Looks like February the 1st, I believe, at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'd love to go down for this one. Of course, I am going to go down for this one, no doubt about that. In fact, the impeccable one, you should come down. We should have a big blast in Vegas, you know, hookers, chicks, all kinds of stuff, drugs. No truckers, no drugs. Bottom line is, we just go there and watch a fight. Of course, that's what I do now in my old age. But the bottom line is, that's going to be one hell of a fight. No doubt about that. For 175-pound supremacy, I'm talking about David Benavidez and Eric Morrell. Of course, Dmitry Bivol, considered the pound-for-pound king. I take that back. Artur Bitev, considered a pound-for-pound king at 175, having decision Bivol a fortnight ago. But the bottom line is, I don't know. I think David Benavidez beats them all. Tommy D, Sir Thomas Dillenmuth, who we heard in hour number one, of course, he shot a call every Sunday, he thinks that Eric Morrell smokes David Benavidez. So we'll have to see about that. We'll probably bet a little bit on that one, no doubt about that. Now, some of the fights that took place this weekend, I wasn't all that impressed with. Of course, we talked about the Mike Tyson exhibition with, of course, it was an exhibition in any other state but Texas, but of course, his deal with Jake Paul, the fact that neither guy wanted to hurt each other. Mike Tyson, the hardest punch he threw and landed was at the weigh-in when he slapped Jake Paul. Like, you know, that was the cleanest shot. That was the most Mike Tyson landed on as far as clean shots were. And that was it. No doubt about that. From that point forward, it was downhill for Mike Tyson. Of course, Mike put on a good show as far as the act going into it. You know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And I thought that if he hit Jake Paul once, that he would crumble Jake Paul, but he never hit Jake Paul because he never threw at Jake Paul. So what I'm trying to tell you is I think that Mike Tyson fought handcuffed. And I don't mean handcuffed meaning emotionally or mentally. I think he was handcuffed physically. I think he was told going in there, don't hurt him, he won't hurt you. You guys go 8 rounds, it's all over, no doubt about that. But the bottom line is Mike Tyson, at the end of the day, is 58 years old. And, you know, give him some props. 58, he was able to go 8 rounds, but it was pretty sad. Now, the fight that everybody was talking about is not the Katie Taylor Amanda Serrano fight. Let that go. Of course, it was a rip-off, a bad decision. But according to author Jim Stinson, take that back, he is the collector of all kinds of autographs. He's an autograph freak. I mean, Jim Stinson is the heavyweight champion of autograph collectors in the entire world. He's got every autograph you can imagine, all the rare ones. I kid you not. Politicians, heads of state, champions, baseball players. He's got it all. He's the autograph king, no doubt about that. But according to Jim Stinson, he said regarding the Amanda Serrano-Lori Taylor fight, Pedro, no, the scoring was absolutely fair in my honest opinion. Both are great warriors, but somebody had to lose. 95-94 across the pond after getting a point taken away. I don't know. And the other girl threw 100 more punches. Didn't throw 100 more punches, landed 100 more punches. How can you land 100 more punches in a 10-round fight, which is 2 minutes in each round, so it's only 20 minutes of boxing. You outland somebody by 100 punches and you lose? That's pretty sad. Anyway, go back to BoxRec just for a second. Of course, the Gilberto Ramirez-Chris Bullum fight, of course, it did go the route, of course, 12 rounds for the WBL and WBA cruiserweight title, 200 pounds. Of course, Gilberto being a former light heavyweight champion. Scores of 116-112, twice, that's 8-4 in rounds, and 116-113. Fans had it 118-110. I wasn't impressed with that fight, but the fight I was sort of impressed with, and because it sort of had a WWE look to it at the beginning, and the guys were humping on each other like, what was going on here? Anyway, it got my attention. Mario Barros and Abel Ramos. Now, a lot of people think that Ramos won, but according to the scorecards, one judge had Abel Ramos, of course, came in at 28-6, definitely the opponent in this fight, had him winning 114-112. One judge had it 113-113, and then one judge had Mario Barros winning 116-110. Fans had Barros winning 115-111. Barros is a good fighter, no doubt about that, 29-2 now with one draw, but Abel Ramos able to sustained, you know, he was able to hang tough for 12 rounds. Didn't win the fight, but he hung tough for 12 rounds, no doubt about that. Back to the Amanda Serrano fight. Listen, there comes a time in every official's life, I'm talking about the referee John Shirley, when it's his time to call it in, when you can't do things right anymore. I mean, when somebody that's known your entire life and questions your integrity, you got to think about that. You just have to. John, and you and I go back to the amateurs, to the Golden Gloves, so you know what I'm talking about. John Shirley, the referee in Texas, of course, the referee of the Amanda Serrano and Lori Taylor fight. Of course, he told Lori Taylor at one point in the fight to not butt the other girl, that, quote, you're better than that. I mean, the referee shouldn't be saying stuff like that. What kind of stuff is that? I mean, come on, man. What's the referee trying to do? Give her a pass? Yes, he was. Why am I saying that? Because Lori Taylor, we'll talk about this in the next segment when I bring in, of course, her promoter, Eddie Hearn. But the bottom line is, she's been gifted a lot of decisions. Now, the other night, she fought primarily with her head, the butts, the cuts that she opened up, both those, the cut, and of course, it was hit the second time, but opened up even more. But the bottom line is, those cuts were caused by headbutts. They were. Headbutts are supposed to be part of boxing, although they are part of boxing. They're fouls. But yet, the referee didn't call her for any fouls. He did take 1 point away. But it got to be the point where he couldn't do anything but take a point away. It was so, like, obvious. I mean, come on, man. You should have took a point away a long, long time ago. But he didn't. And it hurts me because this is a guy that I traveled around the country with. I traveled around the world with John Shirley. I went to China with him. I know his kids. I knew his daughter, his wife. I mean, we were tight. But he moved to Texas, and he became one of Texas' guys down there. Of course, Texas, anything goes on in Texas. I kid you not. Of course, they licensed Julio Cesar Chavez and gave him a license. Of course, didn't test him for drugs, even though he had a bad drug habit. People thought he went into the ring high. Bottom line is, Texas don't give a spit. All Texas wants to do is cash a check. That's all they wanted to do down there. Jerry Jones, of course, allowed Errol Spence to fight when Errol Spence shouldn't have been allowed to box ever again. But he greenlit. He put the green light on that. He greenlights everything in Texas. Texas, there are no rules. It's not any rules. Anyway, back to the weekend in boxing. I still think Mario Barros and Abel Ramos was probably the best fight of the weekend. Just not a good weekend for boxing. I mean, William Zepeda and Tevin Farmer. Of course, Tommy D thought that Tevin Farmer won that fight. The fans think that Zepeda won 96-93, according to the BoxRec thing. In fact, that's one good thing about BoxRec. You can look at them, and this sort of tells you what the fans think. Of course, the fans get to chime in on each fight. And, of course, a lot of times the fans don't agree with the judges. Of course, here it was 96-93 for William Zepeda Segura, of course, over Tevin Farmer. Now, the Juan Carlos Ramirez fight, the guy from Fresno, California, that I think couldn't lick a stamp. Listen, if he would have came up here and fought me in the Golden Gloves, I'd have sent him back to Fresno, and he'd been picking raisins for the rest of his life. I kid you not. That's how inferior he is. I couldn't believe he was ever champion. I just couldn't believe it. Anyway, he lost to Arnold Barboza, as I said, across the board. Unanimous nod. Scores were 97-93, 96-94, and 96-94. Again, of course, the fans had it, 97-93. Now, the big fights coming up in the future, of course, the World Heavyweight Champion. We'll talk about that in our next segment. Oleg Usyk. He's going to lose to Tyson Fury. Why do I say that? Because size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports, like the UFC last night. But the bottom line is, Tyson Fury is 6'9". He's going to be in shape this time. I mean, even though Tyson doesn't take shots that well anymore, Oleg Usyk is not a big puncher per se, and he's not the greatest boxer in the world. He's just an average boxer for a heavyweight. He moves around good because he's a cruiserweight per se. He's a guy that, about 205, 210 pounds. That was probably his peak, maybe 220 at the max. But the bottom line is, he is a non-punching entity per se, and I think he's going to get licked by Tyson Fury this time. Now, why do I say that? As I said, a lot of times, size matters in two things, pornography and combat sports. And here we have a 6'9"-ish man that's properly motivated, both mentally and properly prepared physically. In that state, I don't think he can be beat. I mean, I couldn't imagine me beating some guy 6'9" that was in shape, both mentally and physically. If I was 6'3" or 6'4", just can't do it. That much size, you can't beat it. Unless you kick him in the, Anyway, but the bottom line is, you can't beat a guy that big. You just can't. If the guy's dedicated and the guy's together, and I think Tyson Fury's together, he was embarrassed, no doubt about that. Of course, he was embarrassed by Francis Ngannou, and then he lost that fight to Ngannou. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Of course, he went into that fight, and he was on a two-fight losing streak. There's no doubt about it. So I think Tyson Fury at 6'9", the gypsy, will come back, and he will beat Oleg Usyk in the rematch. I think he'll beat him down. I think it'll be a stoppage within the 12-round limit. And the reason why I'm leaning that way is the fact that Tyson Fury's got something to prove. And I think he's a gypsy. He's a mean, mean guy. He's not this likable, lovable guy you see on TV singing songs like us. He's a mean dude. There's no doubt about it. He has a definite mean streak in him. And I think Oleg Usyk is going to feel the wrath of that when they hook up in December. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
I am an American veteran. I'm proud to have served this country. Helping veterans is something all Americans can participate in, and it's as simple as donating an old car that you have sitting around. When you call the Veteran Car Donation Program, they'll explain how their program works and then arrange a time they can come and pick up your vehicle for free. Running or not, it doesn't matter. They take cars, trucks, motorcycles, or vans. Show your support by donating your car and get a tax deduction in the process. Call the Veteran Car Donation Program right now. They'll come and pick your car up for free, and you'll get a tax deduction in the process. Call the number we're about to give you right now. Thank you, and God bless America.
800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. 800-887-1097. That's 800-887-1097.
I'm holding in my hand the American Silver Eagle Dollar. It's a beautiful piece of American history, and it's 1 ounce of silver. Originally minted in 1986, these coins are a beautiful classic piece of American history, and they're a great investment you should add to your portfolio. The beauty of silver is that however much you have available to invest, silver is affordable and easy to acquire, with one coin costing around $30. So, if you choose to invest a few thousand in silver, you can get quite a bit for your money. And you'll have a tangible asset that you can hold, one you can be proud to own. Claim your piece of American history with American Silver Eagle Dollars. Call the Silver Hotline right now.
800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. 800-620-1624. That's 800-620-1624.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You ask me how well that he fight, I don't know, but I can tell you one thing, he punch good.
Smoking Joe Frazier, Philadelphia, PA, of course, so you got a statue of him in town. They had a statue of Rocky Balboa in Philadelphia before they had a statue of Joe Frazier. I kid you not. Of course, Joe Frazier, the former world heavyweight champion, the man that... He was, I mean, when he fought Muhammad Ali the first time, that was the greatest exhibition of mental strength I've ever seen in my life by an athlete. I kid you not. That was like, he would not be defeated that night. Of course, I thought that Ali might have beat him on points, but at the end of the night, Ali got knocked down in the 15th round, of course, in that historic fight and was hurt drastically. I mean, he was ready to go in the 11th round, no doubt. He was really hurt in the 11th round. The 15th round was a flash knockdown, but the 11th round, Muhammad Ali was ready to go against Joe Frazier, no doubt about that. Want to celebrate the fact that... November 11, 2000, Lennox Lewis won a 12-round decision over David Tua. I was at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino. Of course, that was in Las Vegas, Nevada. One of my treasured times with Emmanuel Stewart. Of course, Emmanuel Stewart was a trainer and the manager of both of Lennox Lewis. Of course, many other fighters. But Lennox Lewis said they won a 12-round decision. Of course, David Tua came in the slowing Samoan. He used to be the throwing Samoan, but he became the slowing Samoan when he gained 10 pounds because he couldn't close the distance. He was a short guy, like 5'9", 5'10". So he had to close the distance. He had to be fast to get in and out. Okay, but he could, once you gain the weight, he couldn't get in, couldn't get out. Bottom line is he got licked by Emmanuel Stewart's product, no doubt about that. 117-111, 119-109, and 118-110. But at the end of the night, they gave me the title belt. Of course, the IBA, I think it was the IBO title belt of Lennox Lewis. Emmanuel Stewart gave that to me, and I got to go back into the dressing room, and I watched Lennox Lewis pace himself down, wind down after beating David Tua. And he was walking around the dressing room going, he ain't spit. He ain't spit. He wasn't spit. Spit with an H. He wasn't spit. He kept walking around, and you watch him, like, come down. Of course, Lennox came down. Of course, Lennox probably the most underrated heavyweight champion in history. I mean, think about that. Not only, you know, people say to me, well, you know, the guy that he beat, Mike Tyson, was like old. Yeah, well, not as old the other night, but pretty old, no doubt about that. But that's not his claim to fame. I mean, he beat a lot of guys. He beat David Tua. I mean, Lennox Lewis, at the end of the day, is the most underrated heavyweight champion, I think, of the past 50 years. Now, I'm not trying to say that he was exciting and super thrilling and that kind of good stuff, but, of course, you know, he beat Vitaly Klitschko in his last fight, was losing that fight, came in out of shape, no doubt about that, came in out of shape. He was losing that fight, but he knew enough after that fight, after six rounds, after barely getting by there, that it was time to go because he was losing on the scorecards, 58-56. In other words, across the board, Tommy Kazmarek, the great judge from New Jersey, had a 58-56 for Klitschko. And as did Pat Russell, and of course, as did James Jenkins. They all had 58-56 for, of course, the man that would end up losing the World Heavyweight Championship, Vitaly Klitschko. Of course, Vitaly Klitschko, the brother of Vladimir Klitschko, the 1996 Olympic gold medalist. The fight was stopped on a cut, I believe, at 3 minutes of the sixth round. But he beat Mike Tyson before that. He beat Hassan Rahman. Of course, I've seen Rahman took him to town when he took him over to South Africa, and he knocked out Hassan Rahman. That was in 2001, I believe, April of 2001. But I did this on the air. I was live on the air, and Rahman came on the air after knocking out Lennox Lewis. Of course, Huff and Stan Hoffman, the former guy from New York, Brooklyn, I believe to be exact, the hustler from New York, he was the guy that had Hassan Rahman at the time. But then Rahman, in his next fight, he came back, and I went to the Mandalay Bay to watch this, of course, and that was the rematch, and that was in November of 2001. Hassan Rahman got licked like a stamp by Lennox Lewis, got knocked out in the fourth round. It wasn't even close. Of course, Hassan Rahman, he's not famous for becoming heavyweight champion of the world. He's famous for having two dead bodies in the trunk of his car. I mean, come on, man. How many have you ever had any bodies in your car? No, I didn't think so. So see, I don't know anybody outside of Rahman ever had dead bodies in the trunk of their car. And I kid you not, his car like was parked in front of his house and somebody smelled something. They opened up the trunk, two dead bodies. I kid you not. So Hassan Rahman, of course, he was a guy that Don King conned. Why do I say that? Don King cons everybody. He didn't con me, but he cons everybody. Listen, Don King paid me. Don King took good care of me when I was his semi-contract employee. I kid you not. He was good to me. He paid me. He flew me around on first class and business class flights until he got hit to the fact I was pawning off the tickets and cashing the tickets in. I cashed in a ticket to Barcelona one time. I think it was a $2,800 ticket, and I cashed in for like a $500 coach ticket on the same flight. Made $2,300. Of course, Don King said he sort of admired the hustle, but he never flew me around business anymore. So always coach after that. But Hassan Rahman was with Don King in a New York City hotel room, and this was like in 2001, because he had just captured the World Heavyweight Championship, and he was offered $24 million from promoter Cedric Kushner, who was Don King's rival, and HBO at the time, Time Warner. He had a $24 million check in his possession. A $24 million check in his possession, and Don King had him in this hotel room in New York City, and Don's working him and working him and working him. So Don says, I want you to sign with me. I want you to sign with me. And guess what? Rahman didn't get up and leave. He stayed there. Don King wore him down. Don King got him to take $350,000 in cash in a duffel bag and tear up a $24 million check from HBO right in front of him. I kid you not. Talk about being conned all the way. That was Hassan Rahman. Of course, Hassan Rahman, as I said, more famous, not for knocking out Lennox Lewis, but for having a, I mean, how many guys have two dead bodies in your car? You just don't have it, no doubt about it. I mean, two dead bodies. Of course, let's go back to Oscar De La Hoya. I talked about going into depth on this, and I think I will at this point in time. Of course, he was the golden boy. I used to call his house back in 1989, 1990, and his mother, Cecilia, would answer the phone, and she would say, I say, ¿Es posible hablar con Oscar? Can you speak more Spanish than that?
No,
I can't.
That's pretty good.
No, I mean, that's it. Can I speak with Oscar? That was all I could say, okay? And she would say, Oscar, teléfono. And then Oscar would get on the phone. We'd do these, like, 10-minute radio interviews on KEST before I made it into network radio and that kind of stuff in KMBR. And It was epic at that point in time, because here he was like a 16, 17-year-old kid, but I knew he had super potential, no doubt about that. And Carl DeMay, a contractor, a home builder from San Ramon, California, a zillionaire, he realized Oscar had the ability to become a superstar too. And of course, he sponsored Oscar. So Oscar was boxing out of the DeMay Boxing Club in East L.A., and he was lighting up guys like John Montez. John Montez was like a world-ranked guy. He was like 24-1 and only lost one fight, and Oscar almost killed him. I mean, and Oscar's only an amateur. So I say to myself, this is a guy that's got unbelievable abilities. I mean, he was looking like Ray Leonard, but with a body like Alexis Arguello. That's the best way to describe Oscar De La Hoya in the late 1980s, early 1990s. So anyway, he is now 22-0. And he's going to take on Julio Cesar Chavez. Of course, this is in June of 1984. And, of course, he's going to hook it up for the 140-pound championship. Of course, Oscar, I think they have 21-0, 19 knockouts, of course. And Julio Cesar Chavez, I met December 11, 1982, in Sacramento, California, when he beat up my former sparring partner, Jerry Lewis. And Jerry Lewis, no, I'm not talking about the comedian on TV. No, but Jerry Lewis could have been a comedian. That's how bad he was of a boxer. But I used to lump him up in the gym when we went down to San Jose. He always good for three or four rounds. He was one of those guys that I could go all out on. You know, a lot of guys you couldn't go all out on in the gym because you can't be beating the spit out of guys in the gym because guys don't want to spar with you, okay? But Jerry Lewis, he said, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. So I brought it on. We had some wars down there. I take that back. We had some one-sided wars down there where I lit him up like a White House Christmas tree. But anyway, he fought Julio Cesar Chavez on the Bobby Chacon Bazooka Limon undercard in December of 1982. Of course, and I was there, and that was my introduction to Julio Cesar Chavez. But he had fought Jerry Lewis once before in Mexico and beat him both times. Anyway, Chavez was the next Mexican star, the heir apparent to greatness, all that kind of good stuff, the next Zarate, the greatest fighter of all time. And then he hooked up with this kid, Oscar De La Hoya, 22-0. And after four rounds, the fight was over. Why was it over? Julio Cesar Chavez was cut, but he was cut going into the fight. Now, let me tell you this. I'm promoting this fight at a theater in San Bruno, California. It used to be called the Tanforan 6 Theater. It was in a shopping center. I had six different screens. I kid you not. And I had, as well, I was writing for the San Francisco Examiner, so I had this big headline on the front page of the Examiner. It said, De La Hoya, unpopular favorite. Anyway, in the corner of this thing, it says, where can you watch the fight? It says, the Tanforan Park Cinema, the four-screen Tanforan Park Cinema, is the only site that will offer the fight both in Spanish and English. I sold that place out in a heartbeat. Okay? But before I sold it out, I was calling all these guys that were talking about putting the fights on in their bar and this kind of stuff, and I was threatening with lawsuits. I was going to people's places, going to sports bars, telling them, I was bringing thug-looking guys with me, telling them, you do this, I'm going to bust this place up, the whole thing. I had to go ghetto on them because they were going to go ghetto on me until I sold the place out. Once I sold the arena out, I didn't care. You can put the fight next door to my house. I don't care. But the bottom line is, I had the entire area. I had from the San Francisco border all the way to Redwood City. That was me. I kid you not. So I wasn't going to let anybody promote in there until I sold out every seat in the Tanforan Park, in the Tanforan 6 Cinema. And I did, and it was cool. We had Spanish and English, and of course, I sort of fretted in the fight because at one point in time, Don Chargan was the old promoter, like the Hall of Fame promoter. And he told me, listen, if the signal goes out during a fight, don't sweat it. He goes, just tell people to give refunds out 3 days later. I said, well, 3 days later? Why do I want to give out refund 3 days later? He goes, because nobody will show up 3 days later to get the refunds. So anyway, I said, okay. So I'm watching the fight in the third round. The screen goes blank. And I'm going, holy cow, I've got like 2,500 people here, the whole nine yards. They're going to kill me. The screen went blank. But it only went blank for a split second and went back on. I kid you not. And I could have bought pay-per-view insurance. I remember the promoter asked me, the guy that sold me the rights to do this in San Bruno, of course, Joe Gilardi, the former promoter of the insurance magnate of San Jose. But he told me, do you want to buy pay-per-view insurance? And I said, nah, I don't need it. This, that. But when it went down for that 1 second, I was saying to myself, oh, my God, it's going down. But that was a day. Of course, Scott Terry, the Pittsburgh Penguin, of course, the police officer from across the bay, he was the head of my security that night with, of course, my man Ouellette, the Horny Eyes. We had a good time, no doubt about that. And I remember we had like $35,000 in cash. How much the report? We'll never talk about that. Wait, take that back. I'm going to take the fifth because tax crimes are never forgivable by any statute of limitations. So I'm not going to cop any tax crimes. But put it this way. I had three guys, and each had 10 grand in their pocket. Straight up, it was a great night, no doubt about that. June 6, 1994, Oscar De La Hoya beaten Julio Cesar Chavez for the first time because Chavez came into the ring with a cut head already. Straight up, you didn't know that? You know it now.
Do you hear that? That's the sound of uncertainty lurking under your hood. You know the feeling. I know I do. That sudden sinking sensation when you see a check engine light or your car unexpectedly breaks down and you're faced with sky-high repair bills. It's time to shield against unexpected repairs with CarShield. CarShield is America's most trusted auto protection company and has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau. Don't let the fear of a breakdown keep you up at night. Trust the Shield, Car Shield, and say goodbye to terrifying repair bills and hello to peace of mind. Your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, rental car options, and so much more. Don't wait till it's too late. Call Car Shield now before a breakdown. Protect your wallet. Protect your car with Car Shield. Get our best protection ever. Call now. You'll thank me later. 800-425-2317. 800-425-2317. That's 800-425-2317.
This vacation offer is so good, I'm going to repeat it. If you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, even up to the 80s, come to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico for 6 days. All meals included for only $2.99. Again, come to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. All meals, all drinks, $2.99. We'll even give you a free cruiser land package if you're one of the first 50 people to call right now. Again, come to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico for only $2.99. Be one of the first 50 people to book right now in our luxurious all-inclusive resort. If you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, even up to the 80s, you deserve a great vacation. So take it right now. Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Call now and get a free cruiser land package on top of your trip.
800-296-1437. 800-296-1437. 800-296-1437. That's 800-296-1437.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Bruce is, was 32 years old. Let me explain something about his death, too, because there's, I guess, so many, rumors that are going about how he passed away and so forth, about touch of death and drugs and so forth. And so I'd like to clarify that before we go on with the demonstration. Is Bruce, in 1968, he's pretty heavy in the weightlifting, as you could tell. He was very well built. And he was lifting weights one night with Kareem Jabbar, who was a student of his when he was in Los Angeles playing at UCLA. And he tried to lift too heavy weights, and he ruptured the disc in his back, and he was laid up in the hospital for 3 weeks. In fact, the doctor said that they didn't know if he'd be able to walk again or not. But, of course, with a person like Bruce, who's got the drive and determination to achieve anything in life, he was up in about a month, and within 3 months, he was as strong as he ever was. But he had constant back pains from that day on, and he was having to take medication to keep the muscles in the back loose and relaxed. So what happened is that when he was in Hong Kong, preparing for his next movie, he was working with a girl named Betty, and who was going to co-star with him, and he got a severe headache. So Betty gave him some antibiotics for the headache, and with the medication he had taken for his back and the medication he had taken for his headache, they reacted to each other and made his brain swell up, and it created an aneurysm, or ruptured blood cells in his brain, and that's actually what happened. So if anyone asks you what happened, then you can tell them the true story.
The legend, Chuck Norris, talking about the other legend, Bruce Lee. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Going to go off subject here for just a second. In a new report from Toxins Free Future, a Seattle nonprofit organization advocating for safer consumer products, Trader Joe's, McDonald's, Chipotle, 7-Eleven, and Subway are among the 17 retailers that earned failing F grades on the nonprofit's 2024 retailer report card as far as them being into the, quote, toxic hall of fame. In other words, they're not taking care of business here. Of course, there's a whole bunch of companies that didn't take care of business. According to, believe it or not, Apple, Sephora, Target, and Walmart received the highest grades on the report, earning an A- or higher. So Whole Foods received a B. Starbucks got a D. And the bottom line is, if you shop at any of these places, I'm talking about the, you know, listen, if you don't want to be drinking coffee out of a cup that's got some hazards to you, do you? But the bottom line is, I don't either. Straight up, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Back to my man, and the subject of the segment is going to be Eddie Hearn, the promoter, of course. Born in 1979, makes him about 49 years old. Of course, he is a promoter extraordinaire. Of course, he started with the DAZN, D-A-Z-N. Of course, before that, he had some fighters over in the UK. But he was more or less Frank Warren's competition for a long time. And seeing Frank Warren is kicking the snot out of him as far as, like, on promoter versus promoter's concern. I mean, Frank Warren hasn't lost a fight in a long time. They had a competition that went, like 5-on-5. And, of course, he got lit up all 5 fights, strong by Eddie Hearn. Anyway, Eddie Hearn, I believe in my heart, is a bit of a, how can I put this? A lot of promoters are weird dudes because they're crooks to an extent. I mean, you're trying to sell somebody something that really doesn't exist yet. You know what I'm saying? It hasn't happened yet. They're trying to sell you on the future. This is going to happen. So you end up buying it. But the bottom line is, Eddie Hearn, he's a bit of a different guy. And proper boxing, I think, did him right here.
So what's going on with old Eddie Hearn? Ain't now we love Edward. He's held the title of the world's best boxing promoter for a number of years, but now... Well, can he still claim that crown? It's up for debate, isn't it? I mean, where do we start? He got smashed up in the 5 vs 5. His golden goose old AJ got his head walloped about by Daniel Dubious. His reign over the British scene looks to be withering away. The stable's not quite as juicy as it used to be, and he just don't seem arsed these days about fighters leaving him and jumping ship, which has seemed to be the case very often in the past few years. I don't know. I don't quite understand it myself. Maybe all this is why he started an old Ben Shalom the other day. He's just got the right amp with it all. He's probably thought, well, I've got no fighters. I'll start picking fights myself. Knows. Anyway, before Masood beat Liam Davies the other day, Eddie was on a mega, mega losing streak. I mean, he's turned into the Derek Chisora of promoters, ain't he? He keeps on losing, but keeps offering a bout. Now, of course, that's not his fault. Losses happen. And don't get me wrong, I'm not a total plug. I know he's still doing all right. He ain't going to be signing on anytime soon. It's not about the money, it's more about his movements with Matchroom of late. To start with, let's look at the stable. Now, back in the day, heavyweight wise, he was absolutely flying. He's always had AJ on the books, but on top of that, he's had Usyk, White, Chisora, Zhang, Parker, Bacoli, Wardley, Dakers. Yet now, what's he got? Okay, he's got AJ, then he's got Johnny Fisher, who's tipped for big nights in the future. Big up the run for ball, but then it ends with Pooney. Yeah. Then compare that to old Frankie Boy's stable. Have a look, it's the bee's bollocks, innit? So why is Edward seemingly not too fussed about his heavyweight stable these days? I thought it was the glamour division, bruv. What's going on? Why is he not gobbling up a load of up-and-coming stars? Why is he not trying to hold on to some of the big draws who've left him in recent times, like Zilly Zhang or Fabio Wardley? Why the bloody hell did you let Fabio go? What a major... up. And then you got the lower weights, people like Lee Wood, who after beating Warrington was in the absolute pinnacle of his career, looking like he was about to sell out arenas in his next fight, but then all of a sudden he's gone very quiet and potentially has moved on as well. So why has Eddie not fought tooth and nail to keep him sweet? Then Subrayel Matias, he's apparently moved on as well. I know he lost his last fight, but he's still a big draw. Eddie weren't too fussed and let him go. Chantel Cameron, Devin Haney's not there anymore. Then you got Joe Cordina. Okay, he's still a part of Matchroom, but even so, he's apparently also feeling the effects of a seemingly unmotivated Edward Hernio.
What has been spoken about, if you can speak about anything?
Nothing. I haven't had a phone call of Eddie or Frank or whoever. So,
are you still with Matrim?
Yeah. So, I'm just waiting for a phone call or something.
I mean, Frank Smith's here tonight.
Yeah, well, I just asked him then. I said, any fights? He went, well, you don't speak to me, Joseph. Well, it's not my job to speak to you. It's his fault to get me a fight, you understand? Once I've lost, I didn't even have a phone call.
Yeah, so make of that what you will. I mean, okay, he did lose his last fight, then Shakur pulled out, and although a great fighter, he weren't the biggest draw prior to that anyway, but still, it's a little bit strange, isn't it? You don't often hear about a fighter having a lack of communication with Frank Warren, do you? It just seems a bit skew-whiff when you remember this was the man who couldn't get through an IFL interview with Coogie Bear without saying how driven he was, how he's going to take over the entire world. I mean, he did used to bang on a bit, to be honest, but you knew he meant it when he said it. And he even released a book called Relentless, didn't he? The man was on a mission and he was an absolute machine. But now we're beginning to wonder if the spark has gone.
How much does Eddie Hearn have left? I mean, the guy spent, he's lost over $1 billion when he's as the head of the zone, DAZN, I kid you not. Of course, they were the guys that originally came out and said, we're going to cover all your pay-per-view costs. And at the end of the day, of course, they folded over to Canelo, and the bottom line is they do charge for pay-per-view now. But Eddie Hearn has lost over $1 billion. He seems like a very unsuccessful guy in my book. But the bottom line is he's continued to rock and roll. Now, we go from one loser to another loser. I'm talking about Mark Gastineau. Who was Mark Gastineau? Mark Gastineau played for the New York Jets. He was a football player. But what's most important about Mark Gastineau is he was like, most of his fights were fixed. He was 50-3, got stopped one time, had 15 knockouts, I kid you not. But all of his fights were fixed. And why do I say that? Because his promoter was a guy by the name of Rick Parker. Rick Parker was the guy that invented the original invisible green. And when I say invisible green, it was some green cleaner and some organic cleaner. Like you put it on something, it cleaned everything. Like it was like revolutionary, but he came up with this concept, so he made a lot of money. Rick Parker made a lot of money on this. So Rick Parker and I, well, he was part of the group that we went to China for the first time in 1993 for the Brawl at the Wall. Of course, that's when Leonzo Barber defended the WBO Light Heavyweight Championship for the first time ever in the People's Republic of China. The first time they had boxing since 1949, and the communists take over a Mao Zedong. Anyway, so we have this boxing card there, and Rick Parker is there I'll get to it in a second. But anyway, he's there, and I smelled crack. I'm being a former policeman. I know what the smell of crack is, okay? So I'm walking by his hotel room in Beijing, and I smell crack. I say to myself, you know, that sort of smells like Third Street, Hunter's Point, I kid you not. That smells like crack. I mean, come on, man. There's no way nobody's going to be smoking crack in China. It's a death penalty. It's a death penalty for cocaine in China, so there's no way in the world. I said, yeah, I couldn't be kidding. So anyway, a little bit later, I'll stay with the cocaine just for a second. Rick Parker and I are in with a couple of chicks downstairs at some disco that night or the next night, and the bottom line is he says to me, hey, Pedro, you want to go party? I said, when are you going to go party? He goes, I got some blow. I went, took the chick I was with and ran, got in a car, a taxi cab, and drove around Beijing for a half hour. I didn't know what to do. I was freaking out. I kid you not. The guy had blow in a nightclub in Beijing, and it's a death penalty to have cocaine. Anyway, that was Rick Parker. So anyway, Rick Parker gets Tim Doc Anderson to throw these fights, to throw a fight with Mark Gastineau. Mark Gastineau, of course, that was his last fight as far as Tim Doc Anderson was concerned. It was in April of 1996, I believe, when it went down. But the bottom line is Parker got him to throw this fight, or he poisoned him. I mean, which story do you want to believe? They're both, like, off the wall, but either Tim Doc Anderson, first he claimed that they fixed the fight, that they told him he couldn't win, this and that he wasn't supposed to win. Then he said later that he was poisoned. So I don't know which one it was. Anyway, Tim Doc Anderson is alive and well as I speak. He's in a Florida prison for the rest of his life without parole because he shot Rick Parker. He shot Rick Parker in April of 1996, I believe, in a Florida hotel room. Now, listen, if ever there was a guy that deserved an early death, it was probably Rick Parker. I mean, Rick Parker was just to say he was a sleazebag is probably a knock on sleazebags. I kid you not. That's how bad this guy was. He was a piece of work. And, of course, him trying to get me in that trouble over there in China, yeah, he was trying to snare me into that trouble. He had to. I mean, think about this. You break out cocaine at a table in a nightclub in Beijing. Come on, when the death penalty is going, he breaks it out and like shows it to me. And I ran out the place. I mean, think about that. That's how crazy it was. So when he got shot by Tim Doc Anderson, I said to myself, well, you know, he brought that on himself. Of course, he did get at one point in time. I think he did get Anderson to throw fights. I think Anderson threw fights, but Anderson was the opponent. And Mark Gastineau, he was trying to get him into a big fight with George Foreman. That was the whole intention of the Mark Gastineau promotion, this type of thing, was to get him into the fight, get him in the ring with George Foreman and make zillions of dollars. That never happened. Of course, George Foreman would go on to become the heavyweight champion. Not in that run, not in the 93 run, back in 1985, of course, when he knocked out Michael Moore. Of course, Michael Moore, famous for one thing, getting knocked out by an old man. Speaking of Michael Moore, complaining about not having any money, says he's broke. He was inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame a few months ago. Listen, man, if you're broke, that's on you. You had some big purses, no doubt about that. And then again, you were the guy that didn't want Emmanuel Stewart handling your money. Remember that one? Remember that one? Because Emmanuel had a unique contract with his guys. Let me tell you what it was. He was a manager, so he got 33%, and he was a trainer, so he got 10%. But what happened was he would get 44% of a purse. Now, guys thought that was too much. But then again, if they had a manager and a promoter, that's the way it would have broken down. But Emmanuel did both. And Emmanuel would have sometimes other guys train the guys, this and that, you know, sub-trainers and young and this and that. But the bottom line is Emmanuel Stewart got 44% out of most of those guys. Most of those guys thought that was a bit of a ripoff. Of course, Emmanuel was a guy that invested his life, his time, his money. I mean, listen, when I look back at the times I spent with Emmanuel Stewart in Detroit, all this deep benevolence in him. I mean, he just gave and gave and gave and gave and gave. And I remember one point in time, I mean, he told me, I said, this boxing team, it's not even his boxing. It was another boxing team. He was telling me, yeah, he goes, they don't have any trunks. I said, well, what are you going to do? He goes, well, I'm going to buy them all trunks. I said, you're going to buy them all trunks? Why are you going to buy them? Because they got no trunks, Pedro. So I said, okay. So you bought all these guys. Of course, they were all Croc trunks. But the bottom line is, you know, I mean, that was Emmanuel. And I miss him. God bless him. He's been dead now, I think, 12 years. Died in October 2012. Of course, he was the Goldfather, the head of the Kronk Gym, the man that brought us the names like Tommy Hearns and Milton McCrory. And I can go on and on. But the bottom line is, I do miss Emmanuel. He was the Goldfather, no doubt about that. May he rest in peace. The Emmanuel Stewart, of course, Foundation is rocking and rolling. Of course, Kronk Gym. They promised me they were going to get me a Kronk jacket like about 8 months ago. I may not get back like a couple of years ago. Still haven't got it to me, so I don't know what's happening with the Kronk gym. But the bottom line is Emmanuel Stewart will never die. He'll always be alive and well on this show, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Darkest of night with the moon shining bright. There's a set going strong, a lot of things going on. The man of the hour has an air of great power. The dudes have envied him for so long.
Superfly always makes me think of my mother, I kid you not. Why a drug dealer makes me think of my mother is a story for another day. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I'm looking at the November 30th, 1997 edition of Flash Magazine. This was the boxing trade paper, per se. December gets hot in the ring. Of course, Nassim Ahmed, 28-0 at that point in time, 26 KOs, taking on Kevin Kelly. Of course, Poison Jones, Junior Poison Jones on the card, Tim Witherspoon. On December 13th with HBO Boxing After Dark. Of course, Showtime going December 5th. And Showtime, a Don King production with Deerfield Beach with Keith Holmes defending the WBC middleweight title. I mean, we could go on and go on. December was a pretty good year that year. Of course, Johnny Tapia was going to be on that card. But Freddie Pendleton was in a title fight that month as well. Of course, Johnny Tapia, got to miss Johnny Tapia. No doubt about that. I mean, you really do. I mean, at 115 pounds, he was like invincible at 115. But then again, he had his problems. And what were it? It was cocaine and emotional issues. His mother was murdered in front of him. His mother was murdered. He was like 3 or 4 years old. His mother was murdered in front of him. He was old enough to remember it. His mother being murdered in front of me was never the same. I'll never forget what he told me a couple of times. She goes, you know, I'm not here for a long time. I said, what do you mean you're not here for a long time? You're definitely here for a long time. No, Pedro. He goes, my life is going to end early. He goes, I wasn't meant to be here a long time. He goes, if I make 40, I'll be surprised. I don't think he made 40. Of course, Johnny Tapia died. He was the original, one of the original opiate guys. He died from the oral heroin, taking pain pills, I kid you not. Of course, cocaine was his thing for so many years. But he told me one time, he goes, I don't have a mistress. He goes, I don't fool around with my wife except with cocaine. Teresa Tapia was his wife. Of course, she's still rocking and rolling down there in Albuquerque, New Mexico. More power to her. But Johnny Tapia, the baby-faced assassin, may you rest in peace. Next week, of course, the big fight going to take place. I don't know if it's a big fight. Oscar Valdez and Emmanuel Navarrete. But under the undercard, we like this fight. Rafael Espinoza and Robert C. Ramirez for the WBO featherweight title, 126 pounds. Check this out. This is going to be a fight of the night, no doubt about that. December 7th, DAZN Leon Parro taking Richardson Hitchens. That's for the IBF junior welterweight title. The 14th has been canceled. The 21st, of course, Oleg Usyk and Tyson Fury going down, of course, in the Saudi Arabian desert for the undisputed heavyweight title. And then Christmas Eve on ESPN. Way to end the year. No doubt about that. With the best fighter, pound for pound, in all of boxing, undefeated in Illinois of Japan. Of course, the 122-pound undisputed world champion taking on Sam Goodman. Poor Sam has two chances, slim and none. And Slim's not even in the country, let alone being in the same town. So I wish him the very best of luck there. Until next time. This has been another edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. The executive producer of the Sunday show is the great Bailey Peck, the impeccable one. I want to thank him for everything. Without a doubt, without him, there would be no show. Believe me, there would be no show. So until next time, keep your hands up, keep your chin down. But most importantly, boxing fans, keep your butt off the canvas of life. That's what you got to do. Straight up, this has been Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I thank you so much for tuning in.